I believe the Lord has kept us here, that I should ask the rector permission for you to speak in the university, because we've never had a lecture before in the university. Can I go and ask him? I said, sure. So he went and was refused. And I said, we've got to accept it. He said, no. He said, I got it all wrong. He probably thinks you're a priest. I didn't explain to him that you're a mathematician. I'm going back again. So he went back and explained that I was a mathematician. The rector said, that's fine. He can speak. He can speak tonight and tomorrow night. So we put up a little placard in the university building. And that evening at 7, we assembled in this little room. And I was getting ready to speak to the 20 people who were there. It was a very small room, to 20 chairs, when somebody said, have a look outside. And there were 500 people standing waiting to get in. That's 20% of the entire university, which is the elite university of Siberia, one of the top universities in Russia. And they weren't just students, they were professors from every faculty. So we took over the biggest auditorium in the university. And I gave them a lecture on my faith as a Christian. And from that opportunity that evening came so many things that have lasted down to this present day. Because they got us in touch with the press, the academic press, that is the Academy of Sciences newspaper, which is called Poisk. And it ended up that we were able to write articles defending the Christian faith in the official Academy of Sciences newspaper. And that was a marvelous opportunity because it was highly prestigious. But what none of us expected was the way in which people started to write in for information. And they wanted more. They wanted more literature. So we had to set up an operation to translate books, mainly books that David Gooding has written. And one book in particular has been of tremendous value in Russia. It's called Akhna Vahai, Windows on Paradise. It is a Gospel of Luke at the back, and it's a series of evangelistic Bible studies on Luke. And that little book, I don't know how many we've produced, it must be between 750,000 and 1,000,000 of those that have gone out, mainly in reply to newspaper adverts throughout Russia. And constantly we get letters telling of people who've come to faith. We had one just a couple of weeks ago from a girl saying she trusted the Lord Jesus through reading the book Windows on Paradise. And so this opened up a marvelous opportunity, and together with some German Christians, we were able to develop the possibility of publishing articles in the secular press, in Literaturnaya Gazeta, which is really the Russian equivalent of the London Times or the Washington Post. And you'll see a collection of those articles outside, and in one of the little booklets that have been done here. And people began to write in. And just to give you some idea, because numbers don't mean everything, but they indicate a first. In 3.5 years of putting articles in newspapers, we had 3.5 million letters asking for information. And we just counted up as a matter of interest to see how many articles, that is, copies of newspapers, had Christian articles in them. And they're well over 1,000 million. What a tremendous opportunity for the gospel. Proceeding out of those opportunities in those other days in Russia. The main brunt of writing the articles has been borne by David Gooding. And he's put enormous energy over the past 2 years into it. And I would just ask, even in his presence, that you pray for him as he carries this tremendous burden. At this very moment, in the teacher's newspaper in Russia, the book Windows in Paradise is being serialized. And the opportunity to do something for Russian schools has been absolutely unique, because the board of the teacher's newspaper was almost exclusively communist. And yet, the Ministry of Education had said, we need some moral and spiritual teaching for the people in Russia, in the schools. They've got nothing. So they agreed to publish a series of full-page articles in the leading Russian teacher's newspaper. Imagine that happening in the United States of America. First of all, it was reaching about 3 million teachers. It reaches practically a million teachers today because they read their newspapers. And I remember being out in Yakutsk in Siberia, and I met a teacher called Sophie, and she had noticed my photograph in the paper, and she said, "Have you got anything to do with those articles?" And I said, "Yes." "Oh," she said, "please keep writing them." I said, "Why?" She said, "You want me to tell you what I do with them? I copy them out 30 times each by hand." Now you think of a full 2,500 word newspaper article. I copy them out 30 times by hand, and I give them to the teachers, whether believers or non-believers. "I'm a believer," she said, "but many of my colleagues aren't, so that they can use them in the schools all down the Op River." What a marvelous opportunity. And we've had thousands of letters from teachers. In fact, at this very time, we've been sending out a parcel of books, 5 books in each parcel, to something like 12,000 teachers who've written in requesting more information. And I can tell you that many of those books will be the first new books they've ever seen in the school. Because we did it once before, several Christmases ago, and teachers wrote in and said, "These are the first new books these children have ever seen." Can you imagine that? It's hard for us to imagine it. And so the Lord has opened up a door. And these newspaper articles are helping now in a time where things are not so open, are beginning to close in. For example, when Professor Gooding was in Moscow recently, he met a lady teacher. And in the school, the director of the school had forbidden her to teach religious instruction. And she said, "That's very strange, you know, because I get the information from the official teacher's newspaper." And she waved this article in front of him. Well, he said, I must let you do it then, because it's in the official teacher's newspaper. And you can see how that gives an opportunity to people to protect them in a way so that they can keep on with the work. I have indicated that things appear to be getting difficult. Legislation has been passed by the Duma and signed by Yeltsin, which is beginning to be implemented. And if it's implemented fully, I understand from experts that it could lead to the greatest exodus of Christian workers since the communists expelled Christians from China in the 1950s. Because the law that has been passed effectively restricts extremely any group that has not been registered for the past 15 years in Russia, which is, of course, well into the time of the Cold War. And it discriminates not only against evangelicals, but even certain kinds of Orthodox, the old believers, and discriminates very severely. They're beginning in certain places, we hear, to remove property from some groups. I understand recently that the implementation of this law has actually been handed to the Orthodox Church. And that is a very serious development because, unfortunately, historically, as you probably know, the Orthodox Church has not a very good track record in dealing with evangelicals. So this is something we need to pray about, very much so, because, of course, if the people are forced out, then the Russian believers will be left once again on their own. And we need to pray for them. They live in tremendous hardship. I read in the paper this morning that they had just paid the school teachers. They have not been paid since last April. And they get about $30 a month at most. Can you imagine trying to raise a family on that? The pollution levels are unbelievable. One of the Christian workers I know, a young woman, started to cough. And she started to cough so much she was sent back to the United Kingdom for investigation. And when the doctors investigated her, the first question was, "For how many years have you been a chain smoker?" She'd never smoked a cigarette in her life. Intercross infection is at its highest in Russian hospitals. And we need to pray for people working in very difficult areas. Think of Phil Wagner in Set Free Prison Ministries. Thelma Gilliland is here from Northern Ireland, who's just recently been in Russia. And if you want to find out firsthand of what it's like in Russian prisons, talk to her. It was a most moving experience for me and for Professor Gooding and several others of us some time ago to visit those prisons. If you added a little bit of brutality, which there wasn't, you'd have had Auschwitz in 5 minutes. I'd never imagined human beings to be able to live in such a degraded situation. A room built for 30 men at 120 in it. And they were standing shoulder to shoulder in the middle for 23 hours a day, just interchanging with those on three shelves on each side of the room, sleeping top to tail. No prison clothes, no toilet, just a hole in the corner, and one dripping tap. And that was a remand prison. And yet when Phil went in there and said, "Men, how many of you are doing the Bible study?" out of every corner of that room came copies of Windows in Paradise. So the gospel is getting into the prisons. Do pray for Phil and Carol. It's a tremendous work they're doing, and it is a tremendous testimony to the prison governors. And we have many, many letters that we get from prisoners who are reading and who are trusting the Lord in the prisons. Another concern on our hearts, as I draw to a close, is the libraries of Russia. Russians are readers. And what we'd love to do, as things close in, is print as many books as we can. I think last week in Minsk we printed something like 250,000 books. And we hope to do that again in the next few weeks in order to get those books in, hopefully in, to some of the library systems. And it's just amazing what doors the Lord opens. Here's a fact that came from the Ukraine just a week or so ago. The All-Ukrainian State Young People's Library is willing to accept an endowment of books by David Gooding in the School of Christ in the amount of 2,000 copies. The books will be transferred to all regional Ukrainian young people's libraries and will be awarded to the winners and participants of the All-Ukrainian Literature Contest to be held by the Library and the Ukrainian Union of Writers on January 8 to 10, 1998. Could you conceive that as possible? And you say, but look, the School of Christ is a commentary on John 13 to 17. What are you talking about? But then these people are readers. One person said to Professor Gooding recently that his commentary, according to Luke, was the most important book that he'd ever read. And that person was an unbeliever. They want to know about the Christian faith. And they're prepared to read books which sometimes some folks in our own countries wouldn't look at twice because they would think that they're too difficult. So there still is a tremendous opportunity for literature. And we're trying to use the same methods in newspapers and translating books in many other countries as well, about which I have no time to talk tonight. So do please pray for people who are working out there. You will know many more probably than I do, as you realize that our work has been a very specialized kind of work. And I'm very conscious that there are, at the last count, I think, 1,500 different evangelical Christian ministries operating in Russia. It would be a tragedy if all that were to come to a full stop. You can understand, in one sense, why the law has been passed, because so much rubbish has flowed in from west and east. But unfortunately, there is an anti-evangelical feeling as well. It's encouraging because it's evidence that God is working. And what we must pray is this, that as the Word of God goes out and as explanations of it go out, and as people read, even in their daily newspaper, the Word of God, that they may be moved to come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so thrilling even to get one letter from someone who has come to believe in the Lord Jesus, or who has come to see the value of the Christian literature that one has been able to distribute. And I want to close simply by reading part of a letter from a teacher from Kamchatka on the Pacific Rim. I am just a simple teacher in a small village school on the very edge of the earth. I'm not going to complain about those immeasurable problems of teachers' work nowadays. You know our present-day life perfectly well. The problem is not in teaching any particular subject. Every teacher is trying to do his or her best. The trouble is that a teacher is much confused and discouraged where to find correct answers to all those innumerable questions which life is putting to all of us and which children ask their teachers. We ourselves as teachers often cannot answer those eternal questions of what should we do or who is to blame. What a pity for those little discouraged children. Our generation had at least some faith and some lucid ideals. However futile that faith was, it is better than empty hearts. The thought is so terrifying that our children may become indifferent, unspiritual, and even cruel. Now they live without faith and hope. The old ideals are ruined, and new ones have not yet emerged. What a pity! There are so few wise books for the human soul. My desire is to get eternal wisdom from good books, but all these things are so far away and desperately out of reach. What must I do that the new generation will not be lost? How can I help them put their faith in something reasonable and eternal? I have always dreamed of having a children's Bible. I am willing to pay any price for it. I need Christian literature like bread and air. Please do not refuse my request. And that letter could be multiplied hundreds of times. A nation that's spiritually hungry for the Word of God. And who knows? But in a vast audience like this, the Lord of the harvest himself may not prompt a heart here and a life there to go where he wants them to go and to feed the hungry hearts and minds. God bless you all. And a happy new year. Thank you.
Our thanks to Richard Cordell and the Rise Up Choir. We appreciate your contribution to this evening. And also our brother John Lennox. We thank him for his valuable contribution to this evening's proceedings. Brother Boyd Nicholson will close our session in prayer, and then we are dismissed.
Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we think of thy love and thy grace and thy goodness, when we think of Calvary, we're profoundly humbled in thy holy presence. That ever thou would send thy beloved Son to the death of the cross that we might be saved. As we have listened tonight to the testimony of thy great work going on in Eastern Europe and in Russia, Father, we feel in a measure ashamed as we live in a land of plenty where the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. And we think that men and women, boys and girls like us, are dying in the dark, crying out for the light. They say, no man cared for my soul. O God, our Father, we thank thee for what thou art doing. For what we have heard from our brother tonight, the millions of printed materials going out with the gospel and with the truth of God. O Father, we pray that in whatever time is left for Russia, and an open door, wilt thou send a flood of light into that great land, and that those whom thou wouldst use, perhaps even from this company tonight, make themselves available to thee for thy service according to thy will. As we reach the close of another year, we look back and remember the goodness of God to all of us, all the way that thou hast led us, thy preserving care over us, saving us from ourselves and from the enemy. We thank thee for thy boundless love and grace towards us, for the companionship, fellowship of thy beloved Son along the way, in dark days and in days of joy, for thy gracious, patient, and loving Holy Spirit ministering to us, and in us, and through us. We do give thee thanks. And for the ever open door whereby we may enter into thy presence under any circumstance, to know that we have an instant access to our Father. We unitedly, in this little closing moment of the year, gather together our voice of thanksgiving for all thy kindness to us, and as we look forward to whatever time may lie before us, O Lord, help us to redeem the time, to grasp the opportunity as we think of our fellow men and women still in the dark, with aching hearts and burdened souls. O God, deliver us from heartless preaching. Deliver us, Lord, from careless living, but grant that as they look upon us, they may see the evidence of the grace of God in us and long to know our Savior. So we commend one another to thee tonight. Doubtless in all of our families there are those who are still not yet saved. Another year has come Thy grace and mercy has been extended to them, and we pray, O God, that even the closing moments of this year will speak to them. Names and faces flash before us. Loved ones, some of them dearer than life itself, we lift them up to Thee, Father of mercies. Many separated by many miles, even at this moment as we bow in Thy presence, O God, our Father, send the message of the gospel, stir their memory, convict them, deny great grace and mercy. Hear the prayers of years, for these are loved ones, lest they perish at the last. And for all Thy goodness again, we unite to praise Thee, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we thank Thee in His own precious and peerless name. Amen.